Amnesia is self-chosen. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Amnesia is self-chosen. Some words that go along with amnesia are forgetfulness, loss of memory from brain injury, from a shock, from fatigue, from repression, from illness. It's a gap in one's memory. But actually, it is selective overlooking or ignoring of those events or acts that are not favorable or useful to one's purpose or position. Amnesia. Amnesia is kind of a nice word. I would like to take a sledgehammer and go boing and hit Ingeborg right on the head and say, Ingeborg, come back, come back. Ingeborg, she's from where am I coming back? She says, I don't remember anything that I'm coming back from. I don't even remember what it means to have a past. And so I say, well, Ingeborg, you do. Now, I contest, and I say that when a person is drunk, they do whatever it is natural for them to do without inhibitions. It is their natural proclivity, their natural way of doing something. When a person is drunk, they're doing what they... If a person is nasty when they're drunk, that's their real nature. If a person is nice when they're drunk, that's their real nature. Now, we have inhibitions which we have given to ourselves so that we will be acceptable in society. Like some people like to go around naked, and society doesn't allow for that unless you do it in your home or on beaches or whatever. And so therefore, you train yourself to wear clothes. You train yourself to do what society requests. Society does not allow you to go around grabbing a woman by the hair and dragging her down the street and taking her home and saying, you're mine. Now, it used to be okay in the caveman days. That's what they did. But that we're not in the caveman days anymore. So we do things that are acceptable in society. We do things that are acceptable in the world. And we train ourselves with inhibitions to keep ourselves from doing the unacceptable. Well, amnesia is a great deal like that. Amnesia is training ourselves not to be concerned about things. Now, we have the University of Healing courses which are training you in amnesia. They are training you to forget the past. They are training you to forget the past. They are training you to forget the past. Is that correct?
No, they're training you to live in the now.
Ah, mein Gott. So, they train you to live in the now. Why do the University of Healing courses train you to live in the now? Because your inhibitions are so subtle and so all-inclusive. They're everywhere in your life. In your clothing style, in your eating habits, in your relationships, in... I'm a German, I'm a Dutchman, I'm a Swiss, you know. I'm an Italian, you know. And I'm all these things. And you see, those are inhibitions that we built into our life. If you took a dozen children and put them in a sandbox together, and they came from different nationalities, and they were all just 2 years old or 3 years old or 2 years old, preferably, and they were in the sandbox playing, do you think that they would say, I'm German and I'm Swiss and I'm so... No, they don't know that yet. Their mother and father have not yet instilled that into their consciousness, has not yet made that an inhibition in their life. I'm German and I act this way, and I'm French and I act that way. As the children are playing in the sandbox, and they come from all these different nationalities, they don't know that they come from these different nationalities, and they haven't learned the inhibitions of these different nationalities yet. And so they play quite nicely and quite easily, and they play with what comes natural. Now, little children don't naturally hit each other over the head with their toys. Little children don't naturally steal from other children. They take. because everything belongs to them, and everything belongs to everybody else, and that's okay. They don't mind that. They have no inhibitions of what is right and wrong. Those are your toys, and don't you let anybody else play with your toys, you know. And you, when you come home from playing in the playground, you bring your toys home with you. You don't leave them there. You know, some of them might steal them. What steal, you know? And they don't know that. Well, now, these inhibitions are built into us so strongly over our lifetime. And as they're built into us so strongly over our lifetime, we think it's the most natural thing in the world. And we think it's the most proper thing in the world that our inhibitions are the right inhibitions, and it's not somebody else's inhibitions. And they had a show that, I think it was The Flying Nun. And this nun came into this disco bar, and the man was going to kiss his girlfriend, and she, not in front of the nun. And he said, "Well, you're not even Catholic. You're Episcopalian, but not in front of a nun. You don't kiss me." You know, they have inhibitions that they don't know, and they're built up from the past. And the guy says, "Hey, I'm Catholic, and that doesn't bother me." You know, and if there was no kissing, there'd be no kids, and the Catholic Church would not exist. So you see, those are inhibitions that we have built up, and we think it's so silly, you know, and. Here, these people are in this disco, and they're drinking cocktails and so forth, and then they say, "Oh, I can't drink in front of a nun," you know. And it's just the silly things that we do. Now, amnesia is self-chosen. We choose our amnesia by the inhibitions we build up in our life. Now, if I were to say to a baby, "You are a married child, and you are this and that and the other thing," and then snap my finger, have the baby be an adult with no background, and the baby wouldn't know how to act like an adult. You see, act like an adult with the inhibitions an adult has. The baby would just suck on his thumb, and it would do all the things a baby would do, because it's not inhibited from doing that yet, acting like an adult. So our amnesia is really self-chosen. Now what we do at the University of Healing is train ourselves with new concepts about ourselves. One of the biggest and toughest concepts that we take is I like me. You say, "I am God." No, I am God is nothing. I am God is a fact. That's a universal fact. Everybody is God, and there's no discussion. I mean, we don't have to say that, but we think we're not. And so but why do we think we're not? Because we don't like ourselves. And if we start liking ourselves, then we'll start being nice people. If we start liking ourselves, we'll start enjoying being in our world. We don't have to have amnesia from our bad attitudes. Now, a mother says to her child, "You stupid kid, you know, you always do dumb things. You always do dumb things." And the kid will always do some dumb things, because that's what she's building up into his amnesia. He's building up into his think system, into his, what word did we use before?
Consciousness.
I didn't even mention that word yet. Inhibitions.
Inhibition, that's right.
They're building up into his inhibitions. "You're a naughty boy, you're a naughty boy, you're a naughty boy." Now, the mother who says, "I like nice boys," well then start building that up, you know? Start telling your son, "You're a nice boy, you're a nice boy, you're a nice boy." And pretty soon the kid will have this new inhibition built up in him of being a nice boy. "You speak perfect English. You speak perfect English. You speak perfect English. You speak perfect English, you speak perfect English, you speak perfect English, you speak perfect English, you speak perfect English." And you see, we tell ourselves this. Now, what word do we use in speaking perfect English, Ellen, quickly?
Articulate.
Thank you, Ellen. We articulate. See, sometimes she has trouble closing her mouth because she is so much into what we're talking about. And sometimes she has trouble opening her mouth because she's thinking of something else. But we articulate.
We articulate.
Why do we articulate? Because we speak perfect English then. Now, what is it that you have always told me every time you mention anything like this? You say, James Bond. Do you know James Bond? James Bond speaks perfect Italian for whatever the dialect is in whatever the area he is in. James Bond speaks perfect English for whatever area of the United States. James Bond knows every person who is the head of a restaurant, and he walks in, well, George, and he could be New York or Italy or any place in the world, and he knows them all. You see, articulate. Now, what made James Bond so understood as speaking perfect articulation, perfect language in any language he did? He articulated. When people articulate, when people speak well and choose their words well and speak the words completely, what happens? Everyone understands. You don't say to him, oh, are you from here? You know he's from here. Because he speaks the dialect, because he speaks the articulation of the language. I don't say, Ellen, they say, oh, are you from somewhere else? And Ellen says proudly, oh, yes, I'm from somewhere else. I am from Switzerland, and I'm from Germany. And but the thing is, what else? So then the little boy in the basket is in front of her, and the little boy starts speaking to Ellen and speaks in French. And so this person who is from Italy and who is from Germany starts speaking French to this kid, and they say, oh, are you from France? Do you know French? You know, how wonderful. And so, you know, she articulates the language beautifully because she doesn't know any better. She hasn't been in the environment to get messed up. So she speaks perfect French.
Thank you.
And as she speaks perfect French, everyone thinks she's a Frenchman. And, of course, that's not very nice. A French person. A French woman. A Frenchman. But, you see, everyone thinks of you that way. But they don't think of you as an American because you speak with an accent from Switzerland, you know, or from Italy, from Lugano or whatever. Now, you see, your accent is your giveaway. Your accent tells what inhibitions you have. She always rolls her R's and does all these silly things, which is a giveaway of her background. Now, I take a hammer and hit her over the head, clunk, and she has amnesia. And she knows it doesn't hurt. She did what? So, amnesia is self-chosen, and we want to choose the type of amnesia we want. Now, I say to you, you have been living in a Bordello for so long, and your language, you know what Bordello is?
No.
Whorehouse.
Ah.
And so, you have been living in this environment for so long, you speak it, and you act it, and you think it's the most natural thing in the world. So I say to you, that is now past. You are now the Queen of England. Ooh-wee, what a big jump, you know? The Queen of England. How does the Queen of England act? What sort of attitude? No, see, right away she gets real peaceful.
Gracious.
No, gracious. Yeah, then that's, you know. Yeah, okay. We see, how does the Queen of England act?
Like
the Queen of England acts like a person who likes himself. The Queen of England does not put on a show for anybody. She just is the beautiful being that she is. Well, let's just say Princess Di. She was a bigger charmer, you know. But anyhow, where did Princess Di come from? She came from a commoner background. She was an ordinary citizen. And so she married into royalty. But did she belong in royalty? Mm. Certainly. Because it was her nature. But the thing is, she thought she was a commoner, because that's where she was born. Then she moved into being a royal person, and instantly she took on this royal attitude, And the people loved her as Princess Diane. And this is beautiful. You see, now, she had to have amnesia for her previous life. She had to have amnesia for all of the ways that people expected her to be previously and start to be what she is now. Well, we teach you to say, "I like me." One of the first and most important requisites of being a student of the University of Healing is to say, "I like me." And to say you like your world. And to say you like everybody in your world, all your creation. There cannot be an unlikable person or situation in your world if you like yourself. There can't be, because they are what?
One. A reflection.
They are your reflection. What did you say?
One as I.
Yeah. Yeah. This more harmoniously is in the topic that we're talking about.
Yes.
You are in another subject, which is a good subject too. To be one means what? To be lives in the past and the present and the future and the allness, you know. And we don't want to do that right now. Right now we're just looking at the world as a reflection of who we are. So we want to be the beautiful. They had a serial on television, and it was called The Fugitive. And this was a man who had been put into prison for doing something he didn't do. And he got out of prison because he escaped. And he got out of prison, and he continued living. And he went from one town to another, and he went to a town and lived in the town, and because he was a noble person, and he acted noble. And pretty soon they did everything with him. They made him the mayor of the town and everything, because he was a really an outstanding person. But then as soon as they became public, someone found his past. And so they came at him with his past and said, "You escaped prison." And so he became another fugitive again. He ran away again, and he went to another town. And the television serial is over his going to all these different towns. And but you see, there's always one bad cop in there, always chasing him. "I'm going to find him." And the cop retired and continued looking for the guy. But it made the television show go on. You know, it gave it lifeblood. Now, we have to be able to let our past be past. We have to be able to live in the now. And when we so live in the now, then there is no past. When we so live in the now, why don't you act like you did when you were 2 years old? Wouldn't that be silly? Yeah? And nice in a lot of ways, but be silly. We let the past be gone. We let that be gone, you know? And why don't you act like you did when you were learning how to play soccer? And then you were like a Giacomo, you know. And Giacomo, when he's learning to play soccer, he was just all elbows, you know. And it's kind of tough. So, because that's past. And Giacomo has become a tall young man, and he's starting to, I don't know, does he play better now? Giacomo play soccer good? No, he still doesn't. It's not his thing. And it really is not his father's thing either. His father is not an athlete. He plays tennis or he does these things, but it doesn't give him a lot of pleasure. Do you know why I say that?
Yeah, please.
Huh?
I don't know.
Well, then you don't know why I say it.
No, I don't know.
I say he is not an athlete because he really doesn't like to get out there in his spare time and play tennis. He doesn't like to get out there in his spare time. He does it as a motivation with his son, or he does it to show off a little bit. But the thing is, he doesn't do it because he loves it. And if you really, Diego, and if you really love a thing, you get out there and do it for the fun of it. This here, what does he do? He goes down here on the basketball court, and he takes the ball, and he kicks it around, and he kicks it around, and he goes down the path of the meditation trail, kicking the ball. It's a joy to him, you know? It's a joy. Now, why is it a joy? It's his nature. Now, what would happen if we were to say to Martino, "Son, you're not worth a hill of beans. you're not worth anything. And then when another day we say to him, boy, you sure don't know how to kick very well. And then another day we say to him, every time you kick the soccer ball with your toe, it hurts your toe. You know, your toe hurts more and more every day. You know, planting the seed here. Pretty soon, he won't even play soccer anymore. Pretty soon, he'll have no desire to play soccer, and he won't know that that was definitely planted in his consciousness by someone who tried to use it as an illustration, which I'm doing right now. Now, you see, isn't that stupid? Now, what if I say to Martino, Martino, you are one of the brightest, most excellent geniuses to come along. Martino, you are fabulous. Martino, you're great. Martino, you're wonderful. Martino, you are beautiful. You're handsome. You're this, you're that. Martino, Martino, Martino. And what would happen? He would just go right up. Now, what if everybody said that? He'd go up. And what if he started saying it?
Ooh.
Yeah, woo! He'd go right through the ceiling. Now, Michaela? Yeah? Am I pronouncing it right, wrong again, Michaela? What would happen if everybody told you that no matter what you enter into, you do it exquisitely? No matter what you choose to do, whether you bake a cake, whether you play tennis, whether you do anything, you're exquisite at it. You do it for the joy of it. You are good at it. Now, that doesn't mean you're a winner. That doesn't mean you win every contest. But it means that you're good at it. You enjoy it. It's a delight to you. It's a delight to you to go and take your tennis racket and go and play. It's a delight to you to go and work at the kitchen and make a cake. It's a delight to you to make a meal now and then. It's a delight to you to just sit with your feet up and read a book, you know. It's a delight to you just to be you. Now, if this is the attitude I have about her, and that's the attitude I expect out of her, and I tell her this, and it's what she really wants to do too, anyhow, then she will really do that. Now, if I say to her, stick a little dagger in there, and you know, a knife.
Ah, okay.
You know, I say, okay. Michaela, you have pain in your back. Michaela, you have pain in your back. Every time you play tennis, you have pain in your back. Every time you pick up your tennis racket, you have pain in your back. It's just a symptomatic of that. And if I would say that and say that, you know what would happen? She would have pain in her back and she'd never pick up her tennis racket again. And she wouldn't know why. She wouldn't know why she was experiencing this. But you read these magazines and these newspapers and they say, people are dying of this here, and people are dying of that, and the majority of the people of the world are experiencing this, and the majority of the people of the world, and you think, surely, you're going to get that. And subconsciously, we put that in our consciousness. Now, we want amnesia for all of those past things. We want to live a Pollyanna-type life, a life that says, all is good and very good. We want to be a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious person in every way. Do you think Mary Poppin is a joke? That she floats in with her umbrella and does these things? Anything that you can think about can be a reality in your life. So we let those old ideas drift into that amnesia of never having been, and away you go. Away you go. A father was not very loving to his children, demonstrative. He was not very outgoing, showing love to his children. And so then, on his deathbed, his son comes up to him and says, Dad, I love you. I've always wanted to tell you I love you. I love you. You know, you're wonderful. And then the father started crying. And the father says, oh, I never have been able to say that to any of my children, that I love you. And that's the thing I mean the most in the world, because all of you are the most fantastic children any parent could ever want. You're wonderful. Gee, Dad, we wasted so much time not saying I like you. You know? But you see, The old school teaches that you should not do that. You should pretend. You know, macho man, you know, and the woman is sensitive and caring, and the man shouldn't be sensitive and caring. Well, how absolutely silly. Well, that's self-chosen amnesia. Let's that go. It's self-chosen amnesia to the idea that there is anything in this world that is not good. And I will protest it again and again and again. If we would just say, President Bush, you are the greatest peaceful president that the world has ever known. You are the president that has brought peace to the world. You are the president. I mean, he may not have done everything, but the thing is, everything he does, he brings peace. And you have brought peace. 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 You have brought peace to the world. What would happen?
Exactly.
There would be peace on earth from President Bush, and as far as you're concerned. And if you say President Bush is a warmonger, well, then you're saying he wants war. And you know better than that. He doesn't give a damn. He wants America to be a happy, healthy, wealthy world. And that's what he wants. So when you put this other coat on him, it doesn't fit. But it does fit on you. It fits on you to say the world is terrible, the world is ugly, the world is bad. So you want to change that. And when you change that, just like those astronauts who were in that space capsule, and they were up in the sky, and NASA couldn't bring it down, and they couldn't bring it down. And so on the radio, one announcer says, let's pray for them. And so around the world, the people prayed. The spaceship came down. The spaceship comes down perfectly, wonderfully, beautifully. And on schedule, the capsule came down and landed at its location, right where it's supposed to. And when they went inside, they found it still did not function. Whatever caused it, that was not caused by the NASA, it was not caused by the capsule, it was caused by what?
Thought.
By people's thought all over the world. By that united, well, one good thought could do it, but if it's a lot of good thoughts, wow. Again, why do you think we have tornadoes and hurricanes? Why do you think we have earthquakes? And why do you think we have volcanoes? Why do you think we have all of these difficult things where life is not pleasant? Why just 10 feet away? Why in these storm fires? The house will burn right here, right next door, it's untouched. You know, totally untouched. Now why? There's no reason for that. Or is there?
Yes.
Yeah, it's consciousness. Why in Florida do we have calls from our students down there to treat for them in the face of a hurricane? And, you know, the wind is so strong and everything. So we treat for them. And what happens? They complain. They complain that the door of their mailbox blew off. The door of their mailbox blew off. Really? That's the silliest thing in the world. But the thing is, they love to live in that place of excitement. And they say, well, people get killed and houses are destroyed. Well, why do you build there? You love to live in that place of excitement. That's just what it is. And you can live there for a long time and never be touched. You can live there forever and never be touched. And where do you want to live? You want to live in this self-chosen amnesia, which says to you, my past is my present, and my present is good and very good. I am happy, I am joyous, I am free now all the time. I read an article in this INTA Quarterly that just came out, and it was about Dr. Leroy Dale, Roy Leroy Dale, and he was the at Unity Farm, Unity School of Christianity in Kansas City, Missouri, and out at the ranch farm there. He was in charge of diet, and he was in charge of exercise, and he was in charge of positive meditations. And many of the joy songs that we have today came from Dr. Dale's joy song books. He is the one who taught them to us. He taught us square dancing. He taught us all these things as a way of liberating ourselves. And He was a vegetarian, and of course Unity Farm then was a vegetarian because he said that, and they sort of are and were. But the thing is, until what's her name wrote about her, I didn't think about him for a long time, because he was part of my amnesia. But every thought I do think about him is a wonderful, positive thought. And I see him right now, standing in front of me, today, this minute, teaching the class like he did there. And it was beautiful. Now, your father is going to give you a spanking. He's going to give you a verbal putting down for having been naughty. And you go in to see your father, and you're ready to take what's coming, and you say to yourself,
I love you.
Good goes from me, good comes to me. Good goes from me, good comes to me. And then you arrive at your father's knee, and he says to you, he says, you're the most wonderful child in the world. I am so proud of you. I'm so happy with you. And you go, whew, you know, you had put the cause in motion. Now, was that what he really intended to do? Mm-hmm. Yes!
Yeah, sure.
You don't say, that wasn't what he intended to do. He was going to give you a verbal comeuppance, you know. Mm-hmm. But no! Good goes from me, good comes to me. You see, you get into the untouchability, one-pointedness, unpossessed, non-judgmental attitude of life, and pretty soon you are fantastic. Well, now, think about these things. Forgetfulness, amnesia, forget the past. Loss of memory from brain injury, shock, fatigue, repression, illness, those are all things that give you a little bit of amnesia. It's a gap in one's memory. It's selective overlooking or ignoring of those events and acts that are not favorable or useful to one's purpose or position. Ellen sits at our table here at the monastery, and she reaches for her little blue rabbit in the middle of the table, and she takes out a toothpick and begins cleaning her teeth at the table. And she's not alone. We all have the toothpicks. But then Nana has been named Queen of England. And so Nana, as the Queen of England, moves into the palace and brings her little blue rabbit along. And so she opens up her little blue rabbit and takes out a toothpick in the middle of a big formal dinner. And she's cleaning her teeth as Queen of England in a formal dinner. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be What would the people at the formal dinner think of her? They would think, she's a queen. She doesn't act like a queen. As a queen always does everything in good taste and good manners. Now, who created those good taste and good manners? Remember King Henry VIII? Remember King Henry VIII? Remember him? Well, when King Henry VIII was finished with his bone, what did he do? Throw it over his back. He had finished with his food, he'd throw it over his back. And who was there? His dogs. And they would eat the bone. And they didn't have to clean up anything, you know. They just throw it away and then make room on their plate for more. But they just throw it over. Well, now, if the Queen of England were to do that today, somebody would feel quite distressed by that. Your ladyship, your majesty, you know, your majesty, what the hell are you doing? But, you see, we have roles that we play. Now, is what Ellen is doing correct? Yes. Under the circumstances, it's correct. Is it correct in everybody's mind? If the Queen of England came here and sat at the table with Ellen and she was picking her teeth, do you think the Queen of England would pick her teeth? You know what the Queen of England would do? She would not even see Ellen picking her teeth. She would not even see that. She would have amnesia to anything in her world that's going on that's not harmonious with who she is. Now you, in your world, have only those things that are harmonious with what you believe about yourself. Sylvia's got the greatest job of all of us here. People call up on the phone, and they get the Worldwide Healing Ministry, and they usually get her, and they say, I'm falling apart, I'm dying. And she says, oh, it's so nice of you to call. What would you like me to do? What would you like? Well, don't you understand me? Well, yes, I understand you have a problem now, but what solution would you like? Well, you should know my solution. I want to be whole and perfect. Well, then, let's start thinking about being whole and perfect. Let's let this, but I hurt, I got pain. Yes, I know that. Now let's start moving our attention away from the pain into harmony. Think about this. What does a doctor do in the hospital when you have pain? Now, that pain is very real. That pain is very real. But the doctor gives you a pain pill or a shot. Now, what is he doing to you? He is making you forget the pain. He is not taking away the pain, but he's making you forget it. Now, if medication can make us forget it, hypnosis of the mind or our thought or new attitudes can make us forget it too. It's all our choice. Now, what do you want to do? How do you want to use amnesia to your benefit in your world? It's all a matter of whatever is important to you. So this day, jump on the bandwagon of liking yourself and recognizing that you're born new. There's no past. Ellen did not pick her teeth yet. You know, Ellen does not do that. Nobody does it. See, that's in a lifetime that's no longer with us. We are free. We are wonderfully free. We're ready to be the magnificent beings that we always were. Because you want to return to your original purity and integrity. It means it always was. And if any of you have a hang-up and you say, to heck with it, I want to live on a parallel universe, then close your eyes here and open up your eyes on a parallel universe that is exactly what you want. It's up to you. Yes, I could say many things, but right now we'll say, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.